Please be seated. Well, we at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth, that it's living, it's active. It's the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. Our scripture reading this morning is lengthy, but it's a good scripture. It's a good word. It comes out of Psalm 71. And let me read that psalm to you this morning. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches the skies, O God, you who have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp of your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O God of Israel, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. Let us pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, your truth. Give us grace, O God, as we share now around this word. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to encourage us. Help us to show us, Lord, how we should so thus live in this world, in this day. We give you praise, O God. We give you thanksgiving for who you are and what you're doing among us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of the quotes I like regarding thanksgiving comes from a billionaire, a man by the name of Sir John Templeton. And those of you who are around finances at all know, heard of Templeton funds and various things like this. This guy had more money than anything. But he was a devout Christian who served on the board of Princeton Theological Seminary for more than 40 years. The Templeton Foundation, which he set up among several others, was involved in charitable causes throughout the world. It's given away billions and billions of dollars. At one point, maybe more money than any other charitable foundation. And this is what he said about the importance of gratitude. If you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much you have. You hear that? If you're not grateful, you're not rich, no matter how much you have. Now Templeton primarily was talking about financial wealth, for sure, of which he had plenty. But he understood that being rich goes far beyond money. Being rich would involve having a fulfilling life in every area. More satisfaction from your work, more joy from your relationships, more fulfilling walk with Christ. And his key to all of that life, was gratitude, thankfulness, learning to be thankful. As Paul said, in all circumstances, in every circumstance. Gratitude doesn't come naturally. You see, to most of us, we're not generally that thankful. Oh, we can say thank you, and we train our children to say thank you, and all those other kinds of things. But what comes naturally to most of us is grumbling, right? We're good at grumbling, less good at thankfulness. That's how you know what natural is. Gratitude takes more effort. That's why we have to work at it, and we have to think about it, and we have to develop it so that it becomes second nature to us, sort of like a habit, or like I would suggest, maybe an attitude. We need to develop a gratitude attitude. Elizabeth Elliot said it this way. She said, "It's always possible to be thankful for what is given, rather than complain about what is not given. One or the other will become a habit of life." This morning, as we approach Thanksgiving and all that it involves, I want us to consider some truths about being grateful. And I want us to look at this psalm. You could look at any number of psalms that David has written. David was now a much older, wiser man when he wrote this psalm. And he had developed a gratitude attitude. And there are portions and pieces of this psalm that just speak out to what such an attitude looks like, and how you and I, how we can grow into that same person before God. And the first truth about growing in gratitude is to start being grateful for who you are. You know, I would dare say that most of us are unhappy about some aspect of our life, of who we are, what we are. Usually, that's an aspect, though, that we can't change. You know, some of the things you can do something about, and some things you can't do anything about. We think, why can't I be taller? Why can't I be taller? Or skinnier? Or better looking? Why can't I have been born rich? You know, why couldn't I have been born in another place, maybe, or another time? Why couldn't I have been better at singing, had a better voice, singing voice, so I could join the choir and sound as beautiful as they do. Or to be able to play an instrument like Andrew or Bill. Or maybe it's just those simple things, you know, like play a game of golf that's actually called golf. So much goes on around us, and so often we just wonder why. You know, it's that whole why, it's the genesis behind all the identity confusion that we find in our world today. Many people are just dissatisfied with the raw material, you might say, that they've been given to work with. of the person that God created them to be. And the fact is that God made you. God made you. And God put you together the way He wanted you to be together. And He had you in mind all along. All along. That's what a sovereign God means. He knows what He's doing, and He does it. Be grateful for what God has made you to be. That's one of the first steps in having a gratitude attitude. Be thankful for who you are, for what you are. You know, you may be left-handed, you may be right-handed, you may be red hair, or you may have no hair. God has made you that way. Be thankful. Be blessed. And understand that there's a reason and a purpose for every instrument that God has made. And that's who we are. That's what we are. Listen to how David put it. He said, "You made all the delicate interparts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb." He says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." That comes out of the 139th Psalm in the New Living Translation. But you see how he was so satisfied with who he was. Or in our text this morning, where we can read him saying in verse 6, "From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." To give you the praise, the gratitude, the thanks. Abraham Lincoln once said, "It's difficult to make a man miserable when he feels worthy of himself and claims kindred to the great God who made him." It's the truth. We need to grab hold of that truth. Be grateful for who you are. God made you. He chose your parents, your birthday, your physical attributes, your talents, your intellectual capacity. God helped shape all of that. It's just like He wanted it to be. Very unique. Very simple. There's no mistakes in God's creation. And oh yeah, you might say, well, the fall caused this or the fall caused that. No, 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 yes. Fall causes lots of anomalies along the way. But you are exactly as God wants you to be. Be what He wants you to be, not something that you think you want to be. Take some time to praise Him. Take some time to say thank you because you are His unique, special, created person. Another way that you and I are going to grow in gratitude is to remember what God has done for us. Remember what God has done for us. Thomas Merton once said, "Be grateful to recognize the love of God in everything He has given us." And He has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of His love. As it says in the book of James, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. We need to recognize these gifts. We need to recognize where God has made a special blessing in our life. And we need to start to acknowledge them, and we need to remember them every day. David says in verse 15, "My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure." In other words, you can't even comprehend it. You don't know everything that God does. You just know some things that God does. But give Him praise and give Him thanksgiving for what you know He has done, how He shaped you. And so often, looking back, that's where we have that 20/20 vision. We can see it more clearly, so much more clearly. A little further down, David says, "Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You who have done great things, who, O God, is like you?" God has blessed each one of us in thousands of ways. many of which we've never acknowledged. The people He has put in our lives, the jobs He's provided along the way, the protection He has given, those little incidences of life that we thought maybe were a tragedy or a disaster, but they actually shaped us for a future ministry, a future blessing. The mercy He has shown us. I encourage you to look back. Look back and see how God has guided you from one place to the next to the next. Look at the pleasant things that have happened, the unasked for blessings, the undeserved favors, and say thank you. Thank you. It's a humbling experience sometimes to look at what God has done in our life. And if you're like me, it can keep you busy for decades if we'll just do it. Francis Ridley Havergal was a Christian poet, hymn writer. We know her best for the song that she wrote, the hymn she wrote that we often like to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." During the last years of her life, she got into a habit of writing on her calendar one small thing each day that she was thankful for. It was her way of recognizing, acknowledging, and remembering the work of God in her life. When you think about the past, don't think about just the disappointments. Think about God's blessings. Because all of it works together for His good and your good. At the end of the day, think about what good thing has God given me this day? What good thing has, just one, just pick one. Remember, gratitude doesn't come naturally. It's something we have to work at. It's an attitude we developed. A third way we can grow in gratitude, and we can see it in this psalm, is that we need to practice living in the moment. We need to remain connected enough to the past that we remember what God has done for us, but we don't want to live in that past. We need to be focused enough on the future, moving in the direction that God wants us to go, but we don't need to be living in the future either. We need to learn to live in the moment. This moment. Now. Right where we are. You know, it may be the only moment we have. You know, Bill Gaither wrote one of those contemporary songs many years ago that says, "Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today." It's a good word. So many are unable to appreciate what God is doing for them today. Sometimes because we're still haunted by what He has done years ago. I know people who've never been able to get past the bitterness of a divorce or the loss of a child, who've never been able to pick up the pieces after a business loss, who've never been able to get over being treated unfairly. Somebody stepped on them pretty hard and it was wrong, but they couldn't get over it. Or they couldn't forgive themselves for something they did way in the past. And this kind of thinking is just the opposite of everything gratitude stands for. In the same way, there are people that I've known and you've known probably that don't appreciate and can't appreciate what God's doing for them today because they're obsessed with what might happen in the future. They can't express gratitude because they're worried about tomorrow. Remember what Jesus said about that in Matthew 6? He said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will drink or eat or your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" You know, as a follower of Jesus, a child of God, our Father will take care of us. No matter what comes our way, He will take care of us. You know, you read this psalm, you read many of the psalms, and you can see that confidence that David had in his Heavenly Father, in what God would do. God would take care of him. There were plenty of things trying to crash into his world, plenty of enemies he had that would want to destroy us. We have lots of enemies in our world. We have sickness. We have pain. We have tragedies that can come and go, death and other such things that can interrupt our life, can charge into our happiness, steal away our pleasure. But God can take care of all of them, every one of them. It's a step of faith to believe that, but isn't all of life a step of faith? Every day brings a little bit of pleasure and a little bit more pressure, maybe, to push us into conforming. Every day brings a little bit more cause, maybe, for concern or worry. You know, we all went through this COVID stuff a few years ago, and it's still here. We can't get over it. We can't get over it, it seems. We still have all these problems that linger because we're worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's always a step of faith. But I've learned that you can't experience gratitude unless you take a step of faith. Trust God. David said, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." The moment David was giving God gratitude, giving God thanksgiving, giving God praise. And you and I, if we want to get a gratitude attitude, if we want to get good at it, then we need to practice living in the moment. Well, here's another way that we can learn how to grow in gratitude from this psalm, and that is tell others about the goodness of God. Let me suggest this thought. The reason most non-Christians don't feel comfortable talking to Christians, we don't spend enough time telling them how good God is. We spend way too much time telling how bad they are. I wouldn't want to hear that either, would you? Somewhere along the way, a few of us have got the idea that you are a sinner and you're going to hell. And we got the idea that that's good news. Well, there's more to it than that. Every person who comes to Christ must confess their sin. There's no doubt about that. The Bible's clear. But that's not where the conversation begins. If you want to talk about God, the best place to begin is tell your non-Christian friends about how good God is. How great God is. Tell them about the wonderful things that He's done for you, for your family, for the people you know, for the people throughout history. Testify to God's goodness. That's what David did. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long. Though I know not its measure, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I will declare your marvelous deeds. Talking about God's goodness helps people understand how much they need, you see? And also it helps to reinforce our sense of gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving, and our purpose on this earth. David said in this psalm in verse 18, "Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." That ought to be a prayer for every one of us. We ought to be reaching out to anybody who listens and talk about the goodness and the greatness of our God. A heart of gratitude tells others about the goodness of God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Lutheran theologian, pastor who died in Nazi Germany in 1945, once said this. He said, "In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it is only through gratitude that life becomes rich." Gratitude, thanksgiving, it's all about life. Be thankful for who God's made you to be. Be thankful for all that God has done for you, things seen and unseen. Be thankful for the moment, this moment, that you have to live for His glory. Be thankful for opportunities, and there are more than we think, to tell about the goodness of God, to share your story, which by the grace of the Holy Spirit can change the lives of others. You're looking for something to talk about around the Thanksgiving table this year? You know, they always tell us not to talk about politics, not to talk about religion, all those kind of things. Well, let me suggest you just celebrate your riches. Celebrate how God has lavished His love upon you. How good He is. How great He is. And let His Spirit do the heavy lifting. Have a happy, blessed weekend. Let's pray together.